So why doesn't the United States leave this barrage that recently has been with the unmanned drones up to Pakistan in terms of fighting the militants? Why does it feel that it could at any point? Or is it because they've given all this aid and feel like, well, we've given you all this money, therefore we can pour into Pakistan when we want to?
Well, unfortunately, it sounds very nice that that much America has funded for war on terror. But in fact, Pakistan had lost, to some estimate, $35 billion in this war on terror. Let me remind your viewers that it's not the first time that NATO has done an incursion inside Pakistan. In June 2008, NATO airplanes striked inside Pakistan, which killed 11 Pakistani soldiers. What makes it so unique, especially the attacks on Saturday, that this was the story been sold in the mainstream media as a word hot pursuit been sold and splashed all around the international media. In fact, it was based on inside tip-off from a local spy. And over the number of years, CIA has successfully cultivated its local spies in Fatah area. And it clearly shows the lack of trust between the two partners who for so-called war on terror, they're fighting on the same side. On one side, we see that these incursions have clearly destabilized Zardari's weak government on one side. And on the other side, it clearly shows that they're trying to point out to international community that real trouble lies inside Pakistan, which they're trying to sell. And in fact, the story is the other way around. Plus, we got to understand that it been coincided with the new Kandahar offensive, Operation Dragon Strike. And there is a Afghan war review is coming up in December as well. So Obama is under extreme pressure to show some results. And we can see this war on terror theater has been shifted gradually from Afghanistan inside Pakistan. And these are the first move, and we're going to see these attacks stepping up in the near future.
Let's talk about a little bit more about the details of the attack, which you just indicated a little bit there. And I'd like to ask this from Naveed Ahmad. There were two cross-border raids and a third now in which did not involve unmanned drones, which, well, the consequence with the unmanned drones have been civilian casualties. Yet there were still civilian casualties based on these manned aircrafts. So what explanation is there to give on that? You have unmanned drones, they kill civilians as a consequence, and yet you have pilots who are on the scene and still civilian casualties.
Well, the answer is simple. That is that in this case, Americans or NATO forces or ASAF, they have so many names for us to mention. They have realized that, you know, this strike has to be swift and we don't want collateral damage, for example. And the tip-off is so accurate that we should send helicopters with, of course, individuals on board. And that is how it happens. And now, after these 50 deaths that we have reported, and we have learned through wire services and through tip-offs, there is no media present in those areas at all. There is only one individual they could name, and he's a Yemeni guy who's said to be heading Al-Qaeda operations in Pakistan. No dead body has been shown, no ID card, no passport, nothing whatsoever, no visual, no identity of the individual has come up. And generally what we are hearing is that there were attacks that were launched on civilian targets, and there were people who were even taken to Peshawar's Lady Reading Hospital. They did not identify themselves that they were injured in that particular attack, but the doctors definitely could figure out that these are the weapon, these are victims of some kind of very different weapon that was used there. So okay. There is no distinction, there is no discrimination between helicopter and manned, but at least what we can say, this when United States puts its soldiers on the line, it means that they are raising the cost of political and cost of war to a degree where it can be felt at home. If these drones that are operated from somewhere in Florida or elsewhere are being used, there is no threat of humans being involved and body bags being brought home.
Right,
so
right.
That even has failed to deliver any results, and we don't see any credible reports of any real Al-Qaeda individual killed in this attack.
Let's get on to the legality of this issue, Richard Becker. I mean, U.S. has applied the law of 9/11, in which it enables it to use basically force in the territory of other states. We had the UN Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings, Philip Alston, who has said that Some of these drone attacks, they carry significant risk of becoming war crimes. Tell us a little bit more about that. And also, what is this law which, when you look at the fine detail, another which Mr. Olson has stated is that it's within a framework which places appropriate emphasis upon ensuring compliance with international humanitarian law, which basically translates into not being bound to any law at all.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not really a law, of course. It's a policy adopted by the U.S. government, which is, in fact, a policy that stands in violation of international law. It's very clear that in international law, under international law, that the greatest, the most serious type of crime, of war crime, is a crime of launching an aggressive war against a country which does not threaten you. Now, the United States is in Afghanistan, I would argue, illegally, just as it is in Iraq, illegally. And to then claim that while you're carrying out a war of occupation and pacification, a counterinsurgency war that has really only resulted in an expansion of the insurgency because of the way the occupation impacts on the people, to claim that that you are now being attacked and you're acting in self-defense and thereby attacking another neighboring country, neighboring to the country that you are illegally occupying, that is such a stretch that under no interpretation of international law could that possibly be upheld.
So, Atif Ali, what does this mean? I mean, does it mean that these attacks are not mandated by the UN, and what could be the possible consequences for the United States?
Well, in the United States, we can see there's a clear contradiction going on between Pentagon and the corridors of power in Washington. Obama administration is under huge pressure in terms of upcoming election in 2012, and on top of that, he has already mentioned that they have given a deadline for evacuation from Afghanistan, which General Petraeus completely does not agree with. According to him, he thinks he still has a chance. His model that buying up, forming militias and fighting insurgency through these militias or mercenary forces is his only way out. And this is a story he's trying to sell to the Washington Capitol Hill. On the other hand, he has replaced the doctrine of McChrystal, replacing every word of winning hearts and mind with learn and adapt. And it means that, and he explained himself that this is like giving equal force, you know, fighting with equal force against the insurgency. So it leads to one thing that on the ground of the army wants to stay and fight, and they think they have a real chance. On the other hand, the political leadership, the Obama administration, does not see that they have a real chance of winning this war. So in these two contradictions, Pakistan is paying a heavy price for it. The Zardari government is already weak. They already were in a political turmoil locally. And on top of that, these incursions will completely destabilize the Pakistani government and, in fact, the whole region.